You will notice in your bulletin this morning, if you look on the right-hand side, Lifting Families Together, National Family Month. Most people do not realize that this is National Family Month. I think, though, you would probably have to be living under a rock somewhere not to know that this is Pride Month. That seems to be everywhere you look. You go into certain stores, and it's displayed very prominently. You turn on television, it's displayed everywhere. We seem to celebrate Pride Month a great deal. And that is the case with our society. We live in a society that loves fantasy and lies over reality and the truth. We like fantasy. I don't know why that is. But it has always been that way, or at least all of my life. Maybe it hasn't always been that way, but it has been as long as I remember. I knew as a child, watching Walt Disney and Bambi and Thumper and all of that, something's not quite right. I rabbit hunted a lot. They don't act like that out there in the real world. That's a fantasy. Ducks don't walk around like Donald Duck, etc., etc., etc. That's all fantasy. And we seem to have immersed ourselves in that fantasy to the point now that honestly we had someone sitting for one of the highest positions in our office, in our land, and they asked them, "What is a woman?" And she said, "I don't know." Wow, we have gone to the point that we can't even identify male and female. Well, I'm going to tell you a little analogy, and it's not an analogy, just a reality check. If you had the ability, and you took 10 young men and 10 young women, and you placed them on a deserted island apart from everybody else in the world, and you came back in 100 years, you would have a society of young men, older men, young women, older women, children, boys and girls. If you took 10 men and 10 transgender women and placed them on a deserted island and left them for 100 years, when you came back, you would have 20 male skeletons. And that's all you'd have. That's reality. So this morning, I want us to celebrate family. And we're going to talk about what family is, and I hope get into that and see the value of family. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. It's printed on the back of your bulletin. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." May God add to the reading of His Scripture. So we're looking at family. And what is a family? How does it come about? Why is that even important? It is not a coincidence that in the very first chapter of the Bible that it is recorded that human beings were created by Almighty God and that He breathed into their nostrils the breath of life and that human beings were created male and female and He ordained from the very beginning that the two of them would unite and would marry and would be family. That is the way that God has ordained for human beings to live. It is written in another place in Genesis, when God created Eve, he said of her, "This is woman, and for this cause will a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife." Now, as a parent, I can tell you, that's not always what I had in mind for my sons. But that is the way it should be. That is the way God ordained it. They become a new family when they became married. They became a family. It is important for us to look at and to recognize there can be no procreation without male and female. But it goes even further than that. In the Gospel of John, chapter 2, Jesus began his ministry by his very first miracle, turning water into wine, at a wedding in Cana. Now, I want us to back up just a little bit and maybe put some focus, some context on this, because we have lost a lot of that in our world today. To become a family, a man and a woman come hopefully before a preacher, it can be a magistrate, whatever, and they stand before them and Almighty God, and usually their friends and their family, and they swear vows to each other. And one of those vows is that they will forsake everyone else on earth, and the two of them will be one flesh. That is the beginning of family. Until that point, they're man and woman, and they may love each other a great deal, and you know, on and on and on, but they're not family. It doesn't work without the commitment. It's required that you commit to each other. I know as soon as I was able, as soon as I could persuade her, I talked Becky into marrying me. And I put a ring on her finger, and I stood before my pastor, her parents, my parents, everybody we knew at the time, and I heard her swear that she would forsake everyone else on earth and cling to me in sickness and in health, in better, or for better or for worse. And trust me, it got worse. But she stayed. I don't know if we would have done that without that union, without that family. It is important. What is family? A family is made when a man and a woman come before God and make vows to each other. That's what we ought to celebrate. Instead of perversion, instead of all of the nonsense that goes on in our world today, that's what we ought to celebrate. But I promise you, there are not many churches in our land today who are celebrating family. I know, because I have done some research, we have churches here in Sherman who have committees and who have groups that are focus groups and protection groups to create a safe space for LGBTQ youth and adults. And that's fine. They can have all the safe space they want. But what we really need to do is promote family. It is important. So in a family, each member has specific responsibilities. And I think sometimes we gloss over this and we've lost a lot of this. Years ago, when a couple got married, there was an element of necessity. One of my favorite couples, they're both deceased now, but I love them so dearly. They were named Mary and Clifford King. And in the 1920s, early 30s, when the Depression was on, Clifford's wife, ran off with Mary's husband. They took off and left the country. Mary had three kids to raise. Clifford had two or three kids. They were having a tough time. Clifford couldn't work and take care of these little bitty kids, and Mary couldn't make enough money to feed her kids. So one evening, Clifford rode up to her house on a mule. Said, "Mary, do you reckon you and I could get married?" They were married nearly 70 years. And they had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, so on and so forth. There was an element of necessity in getting married. There was a time when a man couldn't make it by himself and when a woman couldn't make it by herself. Now, we want to have the government step in and let the government make sure that everybody can make it and that everything's okay. And that sounds wonderful, but when you take that element of necessity out, when the couple doesn't have to hold on to each other to make it, you lose something. And that's an important thing. Each member of the family has a responsibility. Gentlemen, I'll address you first. Your family, whether it's just your wife or whether you have umpteen kids, your family is a gift from God. And He has entrusted your family in your care. That is a important, serious responsibility. Marriage is not something to enter lightly. It's not, "Oh, well, hey, what the heck, I'm going to get married this weekend," so on and so forth. It's serious. God has given you this family, and you are going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account for the way that you discharge that responsibility. You can count on it. It is important. I know there have been people who have been abusive to their families. I'm aware of that. And let me say from the pulpit, I'm sorry. I wish to God it had never happened. I wish I could wave some magic wand and that be gone, but I cannot. It was a bad thing, and it has happened. Gentlemen, it's your responsibility to be a husband, to be a role model, to be a leader in your household. And no one else can do it. Your wife cannot be your husband. I was raised by a single mom. My dad died when I was 11. It wasn't by choice. It was by necessity. And I can tell you from experience, a woman cannot be both mother and father. And a woman can't be husband and wife. And a man cannot be both roles either. It requires both of you. And it's not just for children. You can't really accomplish anything unless you're working together as a team, as one individual. I could never have started and pastored this church or any other church I've pastored without my helper, without my wife. She does a great deal, as many of you know. Some of you come to me complaining about what she does. That's another thing. I'm kidding. She does a lot. I need her. In our family, I need her. She is my helper. I don't do anything without thinking about how it will impact her and usually what she's going to say to me, right? It is important. She is a part of the family. But I'm the leader of the family. I am the man of the house. That is an important role. And I don't care whether society agrees with that today or not. That's the fact. That's the way it is. I have always said and done my best to live up to it that if the devil himself comes to our door, he will have to deal with me before he can get to my family. Now, that may not be a giant challenge, but I promise you, I will be the first to confront any foe, any threat to our family. That's my job. I've made decisions for the family, and there have been times when my wife didn't agree with them, but she went along with them. I have said this is what we're going to do, and I've taken that stand and lived that, and she's gone along with it. Gentlemen, it is your responsibility to be the head of the house and to do so with love and with gentleness and with understanding. And God help you if you're abusive to your families. I don't believe He will. Ladies, you have an important role in the family. It is a role that cannot be taken by anyone else. Men can't do it. I'm sorry, we just can't. Ladies have their specific role as wife and as mother. In Genesis 2:18, it says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that man should live alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." Proverbs 31, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and needeth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." Mother and wife is a unique and precious figure in the family. We live in a world where you start beginning to understand that women know more, I think, about a lot of things than men do. My wife can, we can face a situation and we'll get in the truck and she'll say, "Okay." And well, I know when she says, "Okay," we're about to hear something, right? I have learned that she can size people up very quickly. She can size situations up very quickly. What she says is very important to me. Right or wrong, I listen to what she says, even though she doesn't believe that. I do listen to what she has to say. To become man and wife, to become family, you unite into one flesh. And as time goes by, that bond grows stronger and stronger. Now then, after 43 years, I can look at her and know what she's thinking. And pretty much the same with me. She can look at me and she knows what I think. She knows my reaction. She knows where I'm going to be because we're two sides of the same coin. We think together and we act together. You get so much more done if you work together than you do if you work apart. I knew a man who went into the Marine Corps when he was young, and him and some of his buddies went to a bar, as young men will do, and they started taking bets over which one of them would ask a dancer at the club out for a date. And this young man won, or you might say lost, however you want to look at it. And he married her. And he come home and his dad told him, "Son, you'll never be anybody or have anything as long as you've got that bronc." Well, those of us from the South kind of know what that means. They had a big fight. They stayed married many, many years. But you know what? The old man was right. They never even owned a home. They never rarely had a car that belonged to them. He could go out. He made a lot of money. And she could get rid of it faster than he could bring it in. A good woman makes a man. And a bad woman will destroy a man. She's important. You find, young men, you find a good wife, you hang on to her like grim death, because she's important. Right? Children. Children have specific responsibilities. You know, Every child has the responsibility to be obedient. And I understand that a lot of children are born to parents that are just not good parents. There used to be an adage in school business that if you follow a stupid kid home, a stupid parent will open the door. It's true. Kids don't get to select their parents. That's just a reality. Husbands get to select their wives. Wives select their husband. Kids are stuck with who they're stuck with. They're your parents. There's not much you can do about it. But you have a responsibility. Children have a responsibility to be obedient, to work with their parents, to work for their parents. And they have a responsibility to learn from their parents. I have a relative whose mom and dad were both drunks, just worthless people. I don't think they ever tried to do the right thing in their life. And there were three of those kids grew up in that family. Do you know not a single one of them would touch a drop of alcohol? I think they learned from mom and dad. They saw enough evil, and I'm not trying to bash drinking. There's a lot of bad things out there. But they saw enough evil, they said, that's not what I want for my life. Sometimes young people see their parents fight continually, and when they get up of age, they say, I'll never get married because I learned from them. I don't want any part of that. It is a responsibility of children to learn from their parents. I hope they learn the right things. I hope mom and dad sets them down and tells them about Jesus. I hope they take them to church. I hope they teach them the gospel. I hope they teach them to be honest and to be loving and to be good people. But regardless, children have a responsibility to learn from their parents. And third, children have a responsibility to prepare themselves for the life that they have to come. You can send a kid to the greatest schools in the world, and you can buy all the resources, but unless that child has instilled in them the desire to try to accomplish something or to be something, it won't come of very much. Children need to be taught, and they need to have a desire to prepare themselves for their future. That's what they do. Okay, so let's back up and look at this whole thing then from a different perspective. We are members of the church. The church is the bride of Christ. We are the children of God. I want us to understand the church as a family because it is a family. We named it Family of Faith, and that wasn't just because we liked kind of the way it sounded. Church is a family. And as a family, we have specific responsibilities. First of all, the church is the bride of Christ, and as the bride of Christ, we are tasked with the responsibility of being obedient to Christ, to our husband. We have the responsibility of working for Him and of carrying out His will and of trying to accomplish what He wants. He is our bride. He is our groom. He is the one that we are married to literally as the church. And it is our responsibility as churches to be good brides, good spouses of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when we don't do that, when we do not bear fruit, when we are not obedient, when we decide we're doing this whole thing just on our own, we vary from that. There is a parable in Ephesians, or not parable, there is a scripture in Ephesians that says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We are the bride of Christ, and until the time that he returns, we need to be found doing his will. Just as my wife works to help me accomplish what we're trying to do, as a church, we need to be working to help Christ accomplish what he needs. I hope that God the Father doesn't look at Jesus and say, "Son, you'll never be anything as long as you got that bunch down there for your church." Right? We need to be the bride of Christ, and we need to behave so. As individuals, we are children of God. Like earthly children, we must be obedient, we must learn, and we must prepare ourselves for our future. You know, I don't guess it was worth a lot now looking back, but when I was a kid, I was proud of my family, and I was proud to call myself a Harold. There were things I wouldn't do, not because I couldn't do them, but because I didn't want to bring shame to our family. I didn't want to be the one to let people down. I was at a funeral not long ago, and there was a young man speaking about his mother who had passed away. And he said, "One of my rules in life was if something was going on, if I were involved in something, if I could not explain it to my mother, I probably didn't need to be doing it." I think we ought to have that same feeling about our relationship to God. I am a member of God's family. I'm a member. And I oughtn't to be doing things that I can't sit down and talk to God about and be proud of. And I'm going to tell you, there have been a lot of times in my life I've done things that I didn't want to go to prayer and I didn't want to talk to God about them because I was ashamed of my actions. We ought to conduct ourselves as children of God in a way that brings honor to Him, that brings honor to the family of God, that makes him proud to say, "That's my son." I think about Job in the Bible. A lot of people say they believe in God, and that's a wonderful thing. Job was a man whom God believed in. Think about that for a moment. When Satan came before God, God said to him, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's a good and upright man. He's honest. He hates evil, and he does the right thing." Satan said, "If you take away what he's got, he'll curse you." God said, "No, he won't. I believe in him." Are you living a life that God believes in you? That God says of you individually, "That's my servant. They're good people. They're honest people. They hate evil. They love what's right. They do the right thing." As Christians, we ought to be preparing for our future. I have talked about, and it seemed to be a bit of a surprise, I think, to somebody, about our spiritual personality, who we are and what makes us up. We prepare that. We have some say over that. I can be happy. I can be sad. I can be somebody that people genuinely want to be around and love and care about. Or I can be someone that when people see me coming, they say, "Ooh, I don't want to have to deal with him today," right? We're preparing ourselves for our future. Do you want to be a person that for eternity you are with Almighty God and your family and friends and everyone you've known, and they love you and you love them? Prepare yourself. Just as a child prepares for his future, as a Christian, we ought to be preparing for our future. And we ought to be learning from God himself. If you ask, you will receive. And everything you go through in life, I don't care how happy or how sad it is a lesson that God can use to teach you and to prepare you to be an instrument of His service. I encourage you this week, enjoy and celebrate National Family Month. Don't be ashamed to say, I am a member of my family. And don't be ashamed to say, I'm a member of God's family. You know, we hear people say, oh, I'm embarrassed to testify, tell anybody that I'm part of the church, or to invite somebody to church. What if they turn me down, or what if they laugh at me? I am proud to say, I am a member of God's family. And I am a member of Family of Faith Church. And I'm proud of that. Please stand.